We look at God's word in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and the power that is in it, the things that it teaches us, the truths that we need to be reminded of. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would be of one mind, of one desire, driven, purpose-driven, to serve you, to reach the lost, to act as a body that is focused together for you. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over us this morning and work on our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the month of July, memorized Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and I'm encouraging folks in this church, obviously, to pick a passage and memorize it. I've done Psalm 32, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 15, Philippians chapter 2, and one of the things about memorizing scriptures gives you an opportunity to ponder what's in it, and as you say things over and over and over in your mind, and you think about those things, whether you're driving or wherever you are, certain things come to light that maybe you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And we live in a fast-paced society that we see things very quickly. I'm told the average look on the internet is like 20 seconds before you move on to something else. And sad to say, a lot of our Bible study is the same type of thing. Our attention span isn't what it used to be. Let's just say that. And so we do well to get back to spending a little more time on some things and looking into the Word of God is certainly one of those things. Philippians chapter 2, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." Consolation in Christ, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit is consoling, comfort, common bond. Consolation is an act or instance of consoling or state of being consoled. Child's upset. You see the mom going, now, it'll be okay. And then that's the consoling effect. Church has a consoling effect. If you look around society, hopefully we get together, we encourage one another, we console one another, we commiserate together at times. But that's a consoling effect of what's happening. To soothe in distress or depression, to comfort. I've just about given up on watching any news whatsoever. You want to feel better about life? Turn off the TV. Unless you're listening to Southern Gospel, just put a bullet through the radio. It's just, probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I'll tell you, it can be depressing to watch things go on, but I'll tell you what. It's great comfort to know Christ, to know that he has a plan and he's working out his plan. Comfort, consolation in Christ. The key, obviously, is in Christ. What do I get in Christ? And we said in the past, you're redeemed, you're regenerated, you're royal, and you're righteous. We won't revisit those things, but you are created on purpose for a purpose. You are perfect. I'm not making that up. You are perfect. Say that with me. You are perfect, all right? Now you can say, "I am perfect. I am perfect." Now I like that phrase best because I look at my wife every now and then and say that I'm perfect, you know. And of course, she recognizes that truth. But the reality of it is that in Christ we are, in Christ, redeemed, righteous, royal, regenerated. John 13:35 says, "I am, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Not only am I consoled in Christ, I'm comforted in love. You are loved. You are loved. Say that with me. You are loved. Let's all quote John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you. Hopefully this church loves you. Last time, 2 weeks ago, I preached on, obviously, the comfort of love. We're commanded to love one another. You know, we want to love because it feels good. We want to love because emotionally, I feel like I'm attracted to you. That's called puppy love. That's not real love. Real love loves no matter what. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's not something you do because, oh, this will feel good. No, you're talking about laying down your life. It's going to hurt. Sometimes love hurts. Sometimes it's a painful process. But God has commanded us to love. It's not an option. As Christians, we are supposed to, we have to, we're told to. You can't forget that. I read 12 verses that said, love one another. 2 weeks ago, preached on that. And then Sunday night, the Keffers were here. And if you were here, and I really enjoyed their concert. What I really enjoyed was the grandkids. And if you saw the grandkids, man, they could just send the adults home. Just send the grandkids, you know. But obviously, a very enjoyable time. And so, after preaching on love and that, I received a note in the mail that I'll read it to you. I won't identify the sender. Thanks for a superb Sunday in God's house. We were overjoyed. Your message, love one another, was outstanding. That's the number one factor that sold us on Cornerstone. We are loved. No backbiting, no unkind words, no clicks, no I'm on a higher level than you thing. What a joy. Then they referred to the concert. Last night was beyond words. Those kids amazed me. Then they ended with, have a wonderful week and enjoy God's richest blessings, and signed. And I'll tell you what, for me, I love that note. Because not so much for the part where your message, love one another, was outstanding. I liked that part. The outstanding part was, but obviously not because they said, but you know, and you've seen it as a parent. I'll come home from work, and if there can be a tone when you open the front door. Instantly, you know how things are in the house. You open the front door, and if you hear them laughing and having a good time, and somebody shouts, hi, Dad, then boy, that's the place you want to be. Or you open the door, and I'd like to say that never happens, but it does. And then you hear that, and you're thinking, I think I need to spend more time in the garage or something. And you don't want to go into there. Well, for me as the pastor of this church, I want to see a group of family laughing, enjoying someone's time together, you folks shaking hands and talking and visiting. Just recently we had an event at the end of the Bible studies they're doing on Wednesday night. There's a dinner. Once that segment is over, we throw a dinner. Okay? I just show up. There's a dinner. Last time it was... What was that? What was the restaurant? Olive Garden. It was Olive Garden. So we catered Olive Garden. We won't do that again. It was too much money. But for one time, you know, we wanted the ladies to think we really cared about them. So, you know, we faked it. And there it was. Okay? So, but it was one thing I liked as people are sitting there. I just sat back and I watched the tables. I watched the interaction. And I commented to someone I was with. I said, you know what I love? I love just seeing everybody visiting, laughing, enjoying themselves together. Honestly, as a pastor, that brings me no greater joy than to see people just enjoying the time together with one another, the common bond that you and I have in Christ. Does this make sense? You know what I'm talking about? And so hopefully when you walk into this room and you see people together, hopefully that's the environment you feel when you walk in, that joy in Christ versus the wah. That ain't gonna work. And I'll tell you what, I've been in the wah wah churches. I have. And there's a chance you have too. And that's no way you want to be. Comfort in love. The last two things I'm going to give you this morning, I'm going to put together. To be therefore any consolation in Christ, that's the consoling, any comfort and love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels of mercies. Those two things, it's two different points, but I want to put them together. I don't know if this is the right thing, but this is what I'm going to try. If any fellowship of the Spirit, that's the common bond. You and I, obviously through the Holy Spirit, can connect with one another just like through the Holy Spirit we connect with God Almighty. There's a bond that you and I have in Christ because you know Christ and I know Christ. There's a sense that believers have together that there's a fellowship in the Spirit that can't happen at a Red Sox game. It can't happen watching the Celtics. It can't happen watching the Patriots. Now, there may be a sports connection, but there's something much more precious in Christ with that spiritual connection that you and I have that we know in our hearts God Almighty lives in us, and together we are part of the family of God. Does that make sense? Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, please don't let me offend you. We are thrilled that you're here. I mean, I'm not... We are here for you. It is not about us. It is for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're coming to get you. I'm not making that up. Our lives exist to reach you. I can't emphasize that enough. But the reality of it is that bond, that fellowship in the Spirit that we have in Christ, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, the connection's not there. And you may be looking at us thinking, oh, these people are weird. And you know what? If you don't think that, you're a little bit strange. No offense. But we are a little bit different in Christ than the world is. And the world looks at us like we have two heads. We don't. But there's a disconnect there because we have the Spirit of God. We understand one another. And you do not if you don't know Christ. But you can. You can be just as crazy as us. And I'm thinking you'll like it. Okay? But that's the truth. But that's the fellowship in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. I've got fellowship in the Spirit. And then it goes on and it says, and if any bowels and mercies. Now that's where, obviously, that's not a... That is... I get embarrassed when I go to the doctor and they say, how's your bowels? You know? There comes a time in life where that becomes a very important part of your whole process. I'd like to say I'm not there yet, okay? But, and I'm not trying to gross you out, but... The Greek poets regarded the bowels as the seat of the more violent passions, such as anger and love, but the Hebrews the seat of tender affections, especially kindness, benevolence, and compassion. That's what Lightfoot says. So you and I, in today's vernacular, we talk about how's your heart, okay? But really, before the term heart came out in the 1800s, before the 1800s, what they talked about was bowels, mercies. I'll tell you what. Probably too much information, but I'll tell you anyway, because that's just who I am. But when I was dating as a teenager, I'm telling you, my stomach was constantly upset. It was just in knots, and I don't know why. Every girl loved me, but it was just something that, you know. But have you ever been so nervous, so uptight in knots that you had intestinal issues? Absolutely. Now, nobody wants... Why? Because now the early poets, the Greeks and stuff, they tied that all... That, honestly, folks, that was feelings. Now, in today's polite society, we'd never talk about those things, but the reality of it is that was very much tied up with, I'm so wound up I can't eat. What's that about? That's bowels and mercies. That's the affections that are going on. That's the feelings that you have. That's the struggle. That's the fight. You know, we sell a lot of medication to soothe stomachs because they're so wound up tight on certain issues that they're tied up with. Isn't that true? Okay? So that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Fellowship of the Spirit, bowels and mercies, the things that we feel passionately about are the things that we get wound up about. And quite frankly, we wish that we didn't. Okay? So the two I want to lump together is my core beliefs and my compassions. So here we are in the last part. The fellowship of the Spirit is that common bond. My bowels and mercies are my core beliefs. So Cornerstone Baptist Church, we are meeting together this morning, and this is where we need to go. We're meeting together this morning because the Spirit of God is in us. We're commanded to be together. We want to be together. We feel that fellowship. We feel that bond. But also, a key to a growing church is whether we all are on the same page on our core beliefs. Because if we're not, then we've got, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Christ. Remember that fight that was going on in Corinthians? What was happening? That church was not together in its core beliefs. They were all bragging about who they were connected to. And there was all these cliques going on in the church. Well, that's no good. I've had the privilege of working with some really good people in the past. Now, and you're going to think I'm going to mention Mark and Scott, and I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I've in the oil company, and business is easier to track than church work, and I'm going to explain that to you. In business, we walk into a basement, we got an old boiler, we got a new one coming in. We don't have to look in there and say, well, what are we here for? I don't know. What do you think we should do? I don't know. Maybe paint the net walls? No. We know we're here to change the furnace. And the first one I worked with that I trained was James's boy, Jimmy. And man, once him and I worked together for 2 or 3 years, together, him and I could just make things happen. And we could go in and we could work on something and we'd be in and out and so fast and we'd give a quote and people would think, well, it wasn't that hard. No, we were just that good, okay? So, but obviously, Jimmy's in heaven now having a much better time than I am. And so after Jimmy came Adam, and Adam and I got together and we worked. And the beauty was, when you're working on something like that, I love a project that you can step back and see what you've done. I honestly, even if it's something as simple as washing the dishes and putting them away, you can step back and see what you've done. I don't care whatever it is, I like to be involved in a process that I can see our success at the end of it. And I'll tell you, some of the systems we put in, we take before and after photos and everything, and you want it for us, in the business, we want to make sure that the man of the house wants to show his buddies his new boiler. That's what we're looking for, you know? And I know you ladies don't understand this, but you know what? We don't understand when you want to drag us all through all the shopping and stuff that you've just done either. So there's a difference between men and women, but that's a different subject altogether. I digress. So we do that stuff, and then you can walk away, and you know together, Jimmy and I, Adam and I, doesn't matter who it is, we were able to accomplish something and we can see what happened because we were on the same page. I know what I do. You know what you do. We go at it. I don't have to check his work. He doesn't have to check mine. It's just done and we're out of there. Now, church work is different. Mark and I have been together for 21 years. We've been together a long time. He's been on staff for not all that time, but church work is harder to track. It is. It's like, you know, pastoring people can be like herding cats. It's hard to know just really, are we gaining? Are we losing? Are people growing? And honestly, it's very hard to track. And what happens, and I'm getting away from my notes here, but what happens is Cornerstone Baptist Church, as we are as a church and what God has given us, and John prayed when he was collecting the offering this morning, he asked John to pray, Lord, thank you for the tremendous facility you've given us. We look around here, people come from all over and say, how do you get here? Why do people come? What's the point? How many do you run? They ask all these questions, but you know what? Humanly speaking, you look around, and if you're not careful, you can see success. Do you agree with me? Okay? And with success comes a certain amount of complacency. We think, you know what? This isn't setting the bar very high, right? But nobody's done in Exeter what we've done before. There's only one other church in Exeter. Let's not get too excited about that, okay? But the reality of it is, for somewhat, God has blessed us, and you get to a point where if we're normal, and we are, just like your own success at home, used to be when I was a kid, if you could have a house, a hot top driveway, Shawnee steps going up to the front door, and a luxury car in the driveway, you were a success. House, hot top driveway, Shawnee steps, luxury car. When you drove by, I thought, wow, they've got it all. Dad used to say they either have it all or they owe it all. Okay? But regardless, you would see that and you would think, wow, they have it all. And humanly speaking, that was the American dream. Now here we are, the Cornerstone Baptist Church. We started out, folks. We didn't even have, we had a hand dug spring well that this summer definitely would have gone dry. It's a dry year, but there'd be no water. We were bringing water in 55-gallon drums, sticking a pump and using it to flush the toilets. We had nothing. Nobody wanted a piece of this church. People just drove by and laughed, literally. I don't blame them, but it wasn't funny, okay? Then as our church progresses, we've got an actual walkway that comes up to the door rather than walking the planks. We drill a well. We actually could turn on a faucet and water comes out. Smelled like rotten eggs, but at least it was there, you know? And I won't take you through the whole progression of our church, but after a while, things get pretty good. And now here we are in 2016, and people envy what we have as a church. And you know what's happening, and I'm afraid of? We're becoming complacent, because we're really comfortable. We're not worried about paying the bills. We're not worried about whether someone's going to get their high heel shoe stuck in the floorboards of the church coming in or out. It's none of that stuff. Now, honestly, humanly speaking, Cornerstone Baptist Church is successful, and the danger is we become complacent. And Paul Harvey had a great saying. He said, too many men now are more interested in tending the aquarium than being become fishers of men. And I'm afraid, and I asked Glenn this morning, you know, who's on special music, because I don't know, and it, but I thought, this week I said to my wife, I said, you know, I think Glenn should get up and sing Fishers of Men. You catch him and I'll clean him and all that stuff. Because I'll tell you what, folks, the day we think we're okay is the day we died. And it is incredibly imperative for Cornerstone Baptist Church to keep moving forward. Is that, you know what, we're not here for one another. We're not here to admire our pews. We're not here to celebrate what God has given us, and we need to be thankful. But I'll tell you what, we'd be much better off if we had nothing and were hungry than to have everything and be full and just sit here and watch the fish in the aquarium. And my fear as the pastor of this church is that we're getting pretty comfortable. And I'm telling you, maybe God needs to make us a little bit more hungry. But for us to be successful, to get back to where I came from, for us to be successful is for us to be a team that pulls together. Common bond, common core, common desire. And I know common core for education, is it? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a common desire where we are all on the same page. Or I just desire, and for me as the pastor of this church, you know me, I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist that pastors a church, and my desire is to reach the lost. Because you know what? For the most part, every one of us are going to heaven. Now, you might get sick, and you might have some problems. You may lose some money, or you may wreck the car, or little Fido may get sick and die, and the dog dies, and we're all so worried about all these little things, but you know what? At the end of it, you're going to heaven. What we got to be worried about is the one when all that happens, they're dying and going to hell. That ought to bother us. So I got to thinking about what I have in Christ. And it's amazing to me, I've never had Ed McMahon's job, but you know, Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, if they still do that, I don't know. Ed McMahon's long gone. But they said he used to knock on the door and he would tell you that you've just won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Now, let's just for the fun of it, I'm raising my hand. How many ever filled out one of those forms, Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes? Now, most of you that aren't raising your hands are lying to me, and you won't admit it, okay? Because I'll tell you, I'm thinking, this isn't gambling. This isn't sinful. I'm not spending anything. All I have to do is fill out. I did all that. You talk about junk mail. Holy man, you're going to get flooded. So anyway, it was always fun to think of that. And then I got to thinking about what I have in Christ. And there was a time at 4 years old when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Christ came into my heart. We have that common bond. Hopefully you've done that too. And I was given, not a check from Ed McMahon, but I was given eternal life. Throw out a number. Go ahead, throw out a number. What's the price of that? A million? A billion? It is. There is no number, Terry, is there? There is no number of what Stan Griffin was given by God Almighty. You are every one of us. C.S. Lewis says you've never seen a mere mortal. We're all going to live forever, but Stan Griffin's going to live in heaven forever in a mansion custom built by God Almighty. Amen. Custom built. Prepared for me. I get that. Now, having said that, my deal's done. I'm set. I am set. And Christians become complacent because they know they're set. But I think you don't truly appreciate the value of what you have until you're willing to show it to somebody else. Talk about it. So the beauty we have in Christ, check this out now. You have been given a priceless gift. Ed McMahon could have knocked on the door and given you $1 billion. Let's just say you get $1 million, $1,000 million. Let's just say you got $1 billion, okay? Now, along with that $1 billion, Ed McMahon says to you, here's the deal now. You'll never lose your money, but I want to give you the ability now. You can have my job, and you can knock on any door you want, and you can give anybody else you want $1 billion, and you'll never run out of resources. You can do that for as many as you want, wherever you want. They just have to agree to accept it. That's all. You think, man, that'd be a fun job, wouldn't it? How great is that? Hey, you know what? I can make your day. How great is that? Well, you know what? It's funny to me that people will accept Christ and know that they're set and not want to talk about it. What's that worth then, really? Well, you know, the old days used to say, I can remember my grandmother Lufkin. I was told she never really talked about her faith, and my mom would tell me, that was her mom. Mom would say, well, you know, that generation, they felt it was a pretty private thing. That confuses me. It does. That confuses me. Now, I know nowadays if you got $1 billion, you don't tell anybody because every neighbor and everybody and all that, you don't tell. But you know what? Salvation's not like that. You've been given a gift that can't be taken away from you, can't be abused or used poorly. You have it, you own it, it's yours. Well, let's not say anything, because I don't know if I'd want to. I'll tell you what, I want to talk about it. I do. I've talked about everything in my life. I used to drive a Lincoln Continental pickup. That was stupid, but I talked about it, you know? You can have things. We show things. I'm a gun guy. I'm a car guy. You come over to my house, I'll show you my stuff. I kind of like it. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater I have than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you've got one and you don't talk about it, I'd say at the invitation time, you ought to get up here and just beg God to forgive you for squandering the gift that he's given you that you're not even sharing. Here's the deal. You've got Christ, and God has empowered you to go out and tell any person you want, and not only will it not take away from your eternal life, it will increase the quality of the gift that you personally possess. How great is that? Let me submit to you, Cornerstone Baptist Church, that our fellowship, our core belief, needs to be the reaching of the lost. We are not maintaining the aquarium. We have to keep moving forward. And if we're not reaching the lost, we died yesterday. It's over. Now, I don't want to be a part of anything that's over. So for that to happen, we just have to agree. I'm going to love that person next to me. I'm going to love that person on the other side of the church. I will not fight. I will not bicker. I will not argue. There are people dying and going to hell while we're sitting in our church squabbling over some crazy little thing. And I'm telling you, that will kill the church. Because I don't think you can take Cornerstone from the outside. Ain't happening. Some guy comes in here with a gun. We're not running from it. We're running to him. We're taking him down. You can't hurt us from the outside. Satan knows that. How is he going to hurt us? He's going to hurt us inside. And that's the danger. Cornerstone Baptist Church, we have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is nothing else more important than that. There's nothing more important than knowing that every person you meet is going to live forever somewhere, and we want that to be in heaven and not in hell. I make no apologies for the gospel. God wrote the rules. All we have to do is present it. And I'm telling you, I'm afraid that we are at a point where we are either going to backslide and go back. In 2016 will be the height that we've ever experienced, or we could be at the lowest point that we've ever been in and ready to go to the greatest heights that we have ever seen. And how do we decide that? I don't, as the pastor. I can only share with you the vision. You have to decide that I want God to bless our church. I want to move forward. I don't want less. I want more. And to do that, we have to reach the lost. And we have to love one another. And I'm telling you, what is the downside to that? Well, somebody just explain to me why I would not want to do that. I don't know. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Folks, let's just be servants. Let's look like Christ. Let's love one another. And man, oh man, I'm telling you, God will empower us to do incredible things. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. God, I pray that we would forget about ourselves and magnify you. Lord, if there are folks here today that have never trusted you as their personal Savior, I hope there is something in them that recognizes they need you. That we are here not so we can sit in a nice pew and watch a big overhead screen, but so that we could attract lost people to Jesus Christ. And if there are lost people here this morning, we're not here for us, we're here for them. We love them and we are begging you to save their soul. Lord, help us to get through to a lost and dying world that's not getting better, it's getting worse. And God, forgive the Cornerstone Baptist Church for complacency, for feeling smug, for looking around and seeing success and thinking that we did it, that we didn't do any of it, and we will have no ability to do any of it in the future. It's all because of you. If there be any bowels and mercies, if there be any heart for the things of God, Lord, I pray that our desire would be holy just to you and for those lost sinners around us that don't need to see people fighting. They need to see people loving one another. Lord, we love you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Oh boy, have we got a deal for you. It's free. All you need to say is, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Cornerstone, let's all pray that prayer together. We're going to help that lost person pray if they need you. So we're just quietly going to say those words out loud. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, this is your day. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, but you said those words and you meant them. You asked Christ to come into your heart. We'd like to celebrate with you this morning. We won't point you out or embarrass you, but we'd like to know that you prayed that prayer. So if you're in the balcony this morning and you trusted Christ as your Savior, you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand so I can see it? Stan, I prayed that prayer. I asked Christ into my heart. I meant it. I'm looking in the balcony. I do not see a hand. All right, how about on the main floor? Stan, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm looking. Heavenly Father, I don't see a hand this morning. I hope that every person in this room knows you as their Savior. Lord, if there are lost people here this morning that's getting comfortable with telling you no, all the danger they're in. Father, thank you that I've trusted you as my Savior. I sense you in my heart. I know that you love me. God, I pray that the Cornerstone Baptist Church would be a church that just plain loves one another, sold out to you, with a common belief and desire just to reach the lost, that our numbers can grow and not diminish. Lord, you've blessed us here. Help us to never take that for granted, to always be hungry, to always keep moving forward, to always keep pressing on. Lord, we'll open the altars. However you've spoken to people this morning, I pray that we would respond. Thank you for this time and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.